welcome to another episode of The Flank. I'm joined by the one and only, the world champ himself, one of the best ARs, the human turret in the building. Give it up for Sam LaRue, a.k.a. Octane. I'm joined by some of the best analysis in the game. Give it up for the world champ himself, Christopher Duarte, a.k.a. Parasite. We got the multi-world champion, the multi-champion, a legend, an icon to the Call of Duty space. Give it up for Patrick Price, a.k.a. Ace. And then, of course, we got the one and only, the executive producer of The Flank. Give it up for Benja. Gentlemen, what is going on? Long day of COD. Five matches today. We had a really long day, but the matches today were fucking phenomenal. What a fucking set of matches, bro. What a crazy day. Chris, how you doing, bro? You doing
all right? Great. Yeah, a little tired, but we've had some long days here, and the matches were really good. So excited to talk about them because there was a couple of unexpected results, and then some of them were just, bangers.
Yep. Real quick, guys, I see a lot of people coming in the chat. The merch that just went live is a pre-order, so we initially released some merch. It's sold out. That merch, if you cop that, you should get it within a week or two. A lot of people wanted it and didn't get it, so we threw up some pre-orders, and we're going to put another order in for you guys. So I know the pre-order might be 2 to 4 weeks, but we want to get the merch out to you guys since a lot of you guys want it. So get it while you can. It's very limited, Zuma.gg. Ben, how are you? You doing all right?
Well, I've been here for a minute. Got up this morning to watch FaZe CS play, and as always, they are Heart Attack Clan.
Yeah, they make things interesting.
Yeah, they play Complexity tomorrow at 8 a.m., so I'll be here bright and early again, and like you said, today was an absolute movie. The matches were bangers, and I'm excited for Championship Sunday.
Hell yeah, me too. We got some incredible matches tomorrow. Patrick Price, how you feeling, brother? You feeling all right?
I'm feeling great, Tom.
It's good.
The major is the top four are the top four, which, I mean, should have also happened last event if New York didn't shit the bed. But got the result we were expecting, and now Sunday is going to be a movie.
It's going to be a fucking movie, Slay. I can't wait for tomorrow. We also got Sam LaRue, the world champ, the human turret.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best ARs. How you doing, Sam? You doing all right?
I'm doing great, man. Had some phenomenal COD today, some not-so-phenomenal COD today. I'm excited to talk about it, as always.
Yeah, we're going to hop right into it. As always, guys, today's episode is presented by Xfinity. We would not be here without them. The fastest, most reliable internet, the best of the best in the business. Give it up for Xfinity. Get a WXfinity spam in the chat. They have been incredible to work with, so huge shout-out to them. But let's hop right into the matches. We don't want to waste any time. Like we said, there was five matches today. So let's hop into the first match of the day. We have the Vegas Legion going up against the Carolina Royal Ravens. This ended up in a 3-2 fashion in favor of the Carolina Royal Ravens. This one goes all the way down to a round 11 last map. Go down. We'll take a look at the scoreboard.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. You can see Carolina. Everybody negative for Carolina here, but they were able to get the dub. I mean, Sam, let's start with you. What did you think about the series? Obviously, Carolina, everybody negative, but they still get the dub here in the map five.
Carolina are Lanimals, man. Them and LAG, they rise to the occasion. I think all of us had Vegas advancing through losers and losing to whatever eventual top four team would drop down to beat them. But Carolina kind of shocked the world here. I think pretty much everybody had Vegas winning this series.
Everybody did have Vegas,
yeah,
right?
Literally everybody had Vegas winning this.
That's crazy.
More so about the clips, I think, is where this series kind of unfolds. There's a lot to say, but I think the clips kind of tell the majority of the story.
Yeah, I know there's a couple plays you guys want to look at. I already know which ones. We'll get into it. But, Pat, what did you think? Carolina to come out to get the W over Vegas was a grueler of a match. But Carolina, they made a little bit of a run this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the stats kind of tell the picture, right? Like, typically this is what happens in a Neslo, the team that Neslo's stats aren't that great because they obviously most of the time lose both hard points. But I mean, it was a typical performance. The big call out for me and this whole Raven squad is T-Fellow. This also happened at Major 1. Like, he is a completely different player on LAN than he is online. This round 11, I know we'll get to it, could have went a little differently. Vegas, obviously, I think had some issues with that in S&D and just playmaking choices in general. But, I mean, it was a typical performance out of Carolina. I'm just afraid that this now is going to confirm that they make no changes. And
yeah, that's what you were saying.
we'll have to see how they do back online in another stage.
So the rumor is that they're all moving to North Carolina, right? Or South Carolina?
North Carolina.
Maybe the changes are chalked, or is that like a done? Is them moving a done deal? Or
I mean, I just agree with Pat. I think obviously, you know, we'll get to their second series, but I mean, I think based on them beating Vegas and getting top six and feeling like he did decent this stage, and he came to land and play well, I just don't see them making a change.
Yeah, that's always happens though. Teams get in these cycles where they're like they should make a change, but then they make a run and then they don't, and then they do. You know, they kind of go through the same thing. But, Chris, what did you think before we hop into some clips? What were your thoughts?
I mean, this series was just weird. I mean, like, Royal Ravens at home, they just were not a good search and destroy team. That was their major flaw going into this major, is their S&D was just terrible.
Yeah.
They didn't look much better online. I think they managed to get a couple of, like two S&D wins or something throughout the stage. So I didn't really think that they would come out and win a series like this where they're winning both search and destroys, although one was a gritty 6-5 map. It was just weird. It was a really weird series. But on the Vegas front, again, I think they just had a disappointing result. I don't really know if these guys will make the changes either, considering they had a really good stage. I think they gave Ultra a fight, at least in the maps that they did play. They didn't win any, but they were close.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this team still has a lot to work on. But I mean, there was some good signs for them on their team. I still think Purge is just a question mark when it comes to playing top four teams, because I expected them to win this series and then play another top four team and then give Purge basically just another rep, another test against the top four to really see if he can really keep up with them, which in my opinion, he probably can't, whether they make a change or not. But now they didn't get that test, so they're still left with a lot of questions. And I don't really know what direction this team is going to go in, whether they decide to make an upgrade and see if they can push their ceiling further, or if they're just going to stay the same and hope they just get a better result next time.
I think one thing we can agree on is they definitely look better on land. They definitely seem like they've improved and got better as a squad, which I guess if you're seeing them going up and you're seeing them getting better, I mean, granted, we
Are you
all
want Vegas.
No, I'm talking about Carolina.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're talking about Ravens.
No, I'm talking about the Ravens.
I was talking about Vegas.
Yeah, but I feel like with Carolina, sorry, I should have said Carolina.
No worries.
I feel like with Carolina, they improved on land. Like, they looked like they got better. And Pat, I know you're saying in the watch party you thought Tyler Fellow was better on land. But maybe it's the atmosphere. Just hearing Clay in the interview, it seems like they've been working a lot and on just kind of hounding down on their mistakes and coming out and letting it run. But
that's the thing about this, though, is like at this point, I'm not really surprised when any of the lower-seeded teams outside of the top four come to an event and beat any of the other lower-seeded teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think these teams need to reel in their expectations and stop taking their tournament results as, like, their overall skill ceiling. Like, yeah, you might have placed top six, but, like, in reality, like, these matches could have gone either way. And
they also had a bye round one.
Yeah, I also still think you should be looking at, you know, potential changes like to your team to really elevate that ceiling, because unless they just pick up somebody that's completely terrible and like the roster decision is completely unwarranted, which I think there's a couple people on each of these teams that you can argue should be replaced with potentially better players, I think they're going to achieve similar results regardless of who they pick up. Like, yeah, you got a top six here, even with like LAG, you got a top six here, you got a top six there, but like, if you make a roster change, do you really not think that you're not going to be able to hit that ceiling again? I think you should be looking to push past that. So
I just think these teams are stuck in this box of like, look, at the end of the day, 70 CDL points are on offer online every split. And let's be honest, for these teams like Ravens, they're not going to win the event and get to 65 or 70, whatever it is. So I really think you've got to consider how you play both online and land. I wish I didn't have to say that. But that's how it is. So I think you look at kind of how they played the stage, and Hardpoint is definitely still an issue, and they get outslayed pretty heavily in that game mode. I would agree with y'all. I think they should make a change, but I don't know if they
Every team outside of the top four should make it. Yeah. Should consider making a change, in my opinion, because like it goes all the way down to the bottom teams. Like every team could improve, and I feel like these teams can all beat each other on any given day. So like, when you go in, you shouldn't take these fucking like event results, at least for those teams, as like a clear indication of where they stand. Because when they go back to online, what's stopping these teams from having another stinker stage, right? Like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's the same team.
We talked about this at Carolina. Like through the rest of the way, they're basically playing either New York FaZe or Toronto, or FaZe Toronto Optic in each of the next splits. So they're going to have these stages where they got to convert pretty much all the other games they have in their stage in order to make winner's bracket. you can't really just sit here and always just rely on the Chiefs losing bracket run. So I'm curious to see what the Ravens guys do. Do you want to take a look at some clips, Tom?
Yeah, a few clips heading into the series. One of them was a 1v3 here from TJ. I mean, this was a great round from him. It's just a post-plant scenario. I feel like whenever you get this B-bomb down, a lot of people like to play bridge when they get B-bomb down. I actually think playing chicken coop is sometimes a better play. I think bridge is kind of predictable now sometimes. And there's a lot of corners in chicken coop. So you got to check like a lot of different corners, a lot of places that they could be. And TJ just makes the great head. That played. I mean, that was a big 1v3. Obviously, a 2-2 round here. So TJ was able to help him out with a big play there. And I mean, TJ's been great. He's been great for Carolina. I feel like TJ's really stepped up his game, especially in S&D. I mean, this is where TJ grew up. He grew up in the streets of Search and Destroy. So this is just where TJ's at his best. I mean, it was just a great play from there from TJ. And then later into the map two, it was Dylan Attach who finds a 1v3 as well. And just to kind of see how this ends up playing out. Dylan gets good timing here. The guy was top AC. He jumps top three. It was Gwyn. But Dylan attaches. He was able to get two before before he goes down. And he's able to clutch the round as well. So first there's one 1v3 on one end. Then there's another 1v3 on the other end. It's good clutch at both teams clutching up here in the map two. And then we go over here to the 4-3 round. And in my opinion, this is probably the most important round. I think this is a round where Vegas has to win. I mean, the game was going back and forth. Carolina are up 4-3. And, I mean, what do you guys think? I thought this was a big round here. What did you think about Vegas's play call? So they sent two guys over towards red, two guys over towards chicken coop. You see the guys chicken coop starting to wrap back now. But take a look here. They're actually going to get punished here. It's Gwyn who ends up shutting them down. Dylan goes for the trade, and Gwyn finds a big two-piece there. Just wasn't really too sure what the strat was from Vegas because they were kind of separated there, but Gwyn definitely went big there made a play.
I think what they were going to do is to set up a late pinch for Nero or Geo, whoever was playing Coop, and maybe potentially even have like a rotate situation. I mean, really, we don't really know because their initial plan failed, right? They just got two-pieced. Mm-hmm. Great play by Gwyn, but I mean...
Phenomenal play
strategically,
from Gwyn.
I mean, like, you kind of want to give your teams or the teams different looks. I think they just got blind countered, and then they just didn't get a trade here.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was really good plays from Gwyn. I mean, he's been great. I mean, Rookie of the Year so far, who do you guys got so far? Rookie of the Year, who's your number one? Sam, who's your number one rookie right now?
Gwyn from the start, and it's Gwyn right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, the reason why I asked is because I think it's Gwyn as well.
I think it's Gwyn, and he's definitely higher up there, but I still think that Estriel has his name in the hat now, and even so does Geo, right? Because they've had some pretty good performances, at least in this stage. Gwyn's been the more consistent one, but if Estriel keeps it up, like, the thing about Estriel is that he's been able to put up some, like, crazy performances against some of these top four teams. At least he did online.
Yeah.
While Gwyn, he's been pretty consistent, but even when they play the top four teams, sometimes he's still relatively quiet. So, I mean, I think Estriel can definitely, if he keeps playing the way he is for this for their LAG team, like, he stands a chance, I think.
Yeah. I agree.
Yep. And then I want to talk about the control rounds. I mean, this Carolina, they breezed through this control so easily. It almost felt like Vegas wasn't shooting their guns. I mean, Sam, we were talking about in the watch party, there's one moment where it looked like all four players controller died in the last and final round. You can see how they were able to win the offense here. Starts with TJ. He just runs bottom red. He's able to win a big 1v1. He wins that one gunfight, and the guy watching the OE, and he just tucks himself on a point. He's able to stop the clock, and he's able to stay alive here, and he makes a good play. Just stays alive, shoots off his team. You got Gwyn and Fellow looking over him, and Carolina were able to make the offense look easy. I mean, if you're Vegas, do you guys see anything from Vegas there that they might have did wrong? I mean, what's going on with these guys in control?
Can you back it up to the beginning of the clip?
Yeah, of course I can, Sam. No problem. So, yeah, I'll rewind it all the way back, actually, so you can see the route that TJ takes and exactly how they were able to get on here. But, honestly, I don't think it was too much. I think, obviously, Carolina, they're pushing through red. They're flooding. I just thought it was weird that Vegas get two kills, and they're still not able to stop this push. It's almost like a couple players were out of the play there, trying to pick up, like, right and mid.
I think Nero kind of gave himself bad time in going mid to red. I think he was either top yellow or bottom green. And instead of like cutting the cross right away as the trades were going down, he kind of gave himself bad time in to reposition top red.
Oh, yeah, that was a mistake. Yeah. Why did he go red there?
I also think that they maybe could have sent one player to the dumpster. Maybe it was the last guy to kind of like, basically like back down the guy that was towards the window shooting over like the people in the yellow hallway. Because if somebody does go dumpster, even if they don't like fully commit to it and jump over, at the very least, you're gonna have to have a player watch that like cut.
Yeah, I think Nero needs to play trades here. He needs to understand that they're running through red and pushing through. Maybe they thought he thought somebody was top red and was gonna fill the gap, but I mean, Clay just found one. TJ's pushing through, and I mean, you can see Nero. He instantly turns as soon as TJ turns that corner. And you're right, Sam. Nero gets kind of bad timing there. Kind of does it to himself, I feel. But
yeah, there's just no point in going top right in that situation. You know where both players are.
Right. And I thought
you should,
TJ.
You should just cut the cross.
I thought TJ made a fucking phenomenal play here. Just staying alive.
I'm surprised he lived.
Yeah, I don't even know. You see all the grenades just blowing up around him. He doesn't have a trophy or anything, and he was just able to make the play. So really, really good plays from TJ. You can see Nero. He tries to make the play as well on the pinch, and you can see all the players on that point. I mean, it's just moving so fast, and everybody just dies one by one. The floods come in. TJ with another two-piece. Fellows in there for the trades, and bada-bing, bada-boom, the first offense goes to Carolina. They bounce back. They win the next defense, and then we hop into the 2-0 round, and this is kind of where Vegas just looked like they dropped their controllers. I mean, I don't even know what the hell happened in this round. Just to kind of skim through it a little bit. You could kind of see how it all unfolds. So this is where they drop their controllers here. Let's just let it play out. Bro, I thought they were lagging out. I thought they were lagging out here. They look like they're lagging out.
The inspirational irons right now in these corners. Wherever they are, they think that they are getting every kill.
Yeah, no, this is but they don't even have anybody watching the point. Like, Carolina can just waltz onto point from both mid lanes. Like, they could just walk through mid lane and hop on a point. And bro, we know how hard it is to get people off the point sometimes. Those head glitches on that P1, it's hard to get people off of that. And that's what Carolina do. Like,
they thought they had them all trapped towards the B side. And I think it just starts with number 7. Like, he's just sitting in a corner, and he thinks he pretty much has that whole pinch. But these guys just walk right by him and able to get a free kill on Geo. Because number 5 is looking at that mid-alley, and number 8, he's in red. So they're cutting off, like, basically every lane besides that deep back alley in which Carolina hits. And then they kill Geo, and then everything falls apart for them because all the, you know, places get open and they start tweaking.
Yeah, I just it just looked weird. It looked like they weren't really playing for any info. It just kind of looked like they were shitting themselves, to be honest. And then it just kind of collapsed. You can see it in Clay's face. I mean, look, he was like, "What the fuck? The hell are these guys doing?" Go ahead, Pat.
A Raven did shit on Attach, so it makes sense.
Yeah, no, Dylan, after he lost the series, got pooped on by a bird. That's tough, bro. It's my duel right there. I hate to hear that. But it happens. And then we get into the last Rio. I just thought at the end here of the Rio here, this was the fourth map. Vegas was able to win this, send this to a map 5. I think Carolina needs to put pressure on Old Hill here when they come off spawn. I don't like the fact that they just kind of gave it all up and just tried to, like, play this, like, perfect setup on P1.
Yeah, they're playing exits.
They're playing exits, and I just feel like you can push old and kill them off old and then collapse through bridge, you know what I mean? But instead, just to let it play out, like, this last 20 seconds of P5 going into the last P1 here, you can see, like, even maybe number 3, like, maybe go left and, like, try and pick up a kill here, but instead they play exits, they play kind of turtled, and they end up getting broken here. You can see how it happens. Like, the routes go around from Purge. Purge is able to win a big 1v1 on the pinch. Clay is forced to trade, and now they're just all over the place. I mean, Vegas, they're taking good routes. I think the route from Purge was initially a perfect route because it opens things up, catches them slipping. You can see how easy the break was there
for Vegas. The key thing, Tom, if you go back to, like, there, you know, we talk a lot about taking space on this show, and if you hit through old, we have the opportunity to do, if you get all the kills, is spawn them deep on their side and give yourself an opportunity to push up, get in a good setup, get your timings correct. Instead, they're trying to play in a setup where they have zero information. The guy who's watching their spawn dies, and then they're all just trying to rotate to fill gaps, and it gets too chaotic.
Yeah, I'm also, like, what's number 4 watching? Like, they're all looking at the same thing. He turns
still
here.
They're watching each side of bridge. They're, like, cross-firing it, and then he kind of just tweaks because he doesn't know if, like, they're taking a long route.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it's just going to be, like, hitting old could have helped them, but at the same time, when they got those initial kills mid, they were in a 2v3 if they decided to hit old. So they would have had to wait for 3 and 4 to come off spawn. By then, any of the kills they get, they give 5 a room to take space mid or hit a route if they do decide to commit to mid. So the timings are off. At the end of the day, they play this tight setup, and I don't even mind this. Like, when they're playing these tight rotational setups, it just comes down to, if you're going to give up any sort of time and you're going to have a full setup like this where you're covering every angle, you need to get that first blood, because otherwise you technically get shit on, right? Because if you have a 4-man setup
you're the first person to die. How the fuck are you dying? It starts with Fellow. Fellow just loses this gunfight, and he knows this guy's coming from here because he hears the doors. I don't mind the setup, but you have to get one. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to get the first blood on your
It was Purge, too. I mean, it was a big win from Purge here, Hunter Tyler. I think that was that kind of opened it up. Because as soon as Purge wins that, and Purge does a good job taking the route and winning it on the pinch, but now Clay's forced to turn. And then when Clay turns, that leaves the guy on hill by himself. And you see one guy watching pinch by himself. They just don't know where they are here. And then once the fights go down, I mean, Vegas, they just make it look easy. They slide in there, they break it, and they win the game. So really good discipline there from Purge to take the route, get that blood. And I just like the break from Vegas. And shout out to, obviously, Dylan and his crew over there in the front row. But that's what happened at the end of the Rio. Big plays coming in from Purge. And then we go to the map number 5. Oof. A couple plays to pull up in this one.
Really, bro. These two clips you're going to watch are absolute fucking really.
Yeah. I want to start off with the 4-5 round. And this was the round where Carolina, they were able to work a 3v4 retake. So you can see it's a 4v3 in favor of Vegas Legion. The bomb goes down. Nero, he's obviously stuck. He can't really go anywhere. I also think it's weird, like, while TJ's shooting these shots on Tenero, do you guys think Purge, who's right next to him, you can't really see him because the number 4 is blocking it, but Purge is right to his left behind this dumpster, just chilling. Don't you think Purge should slide this corner and help Nero?
Either slide the corner or at the very least, like, open the door, show presence, make it so that guy has to kind of make a decision. Maybe scare him a bit. It'll stop him from shooting Nero, and maybe Nero gets away.
He got backed down by Clay before any of this happened, is the reason that he didn't fly around this corner.
That's fair, yeah.
Clay had the angle on him before team started shooting.
Yeah.
So he was paranoid that if he just slides out here to go for this trade, that Clay would still be holding him. So I understand why he didn't do it. I thought the same thing during the watch party, but after I went back and looked at it, I understand the thought process there.
Yeah.
Because if he slides out mid and dies, we're going to be cooking him right now for trolling.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's just when he was shooting. I mean, I feel like Clay's angle, like, I don't know. I feel like he should have been able to, like, while he's shooting right here, like, those first set of shots right there from TJ, like, I feel like Purge can hit a tight slide there and maybe trade it. But, yeah, Sam, you're right. It's all hindsight, right? Like, if he did that and died, we would be kicking him right now for making a dumb
ass play. Even if they don't, they had info on where all three Carolina players were, right? Clay obviously was shooting from their mid. Attach sees number 2, Deep River. And number 4 is shooting at the tank. Like, number 7 is watching Dirt Street. There's a ghost there. And Purge is just chilling in DVD. Why not flank? Like, why not make a play and hit cut?
Yeah, especially because you have the numbers.
When you have vision on and you know where all three of these players are, like, you see you have a window. Like, yeah. I don't know. I would have flanked long before that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I feel like taking a route there would be a good play because they're gonna collapse on bomb, and you just gotta play your timings right. Like, once it gets to like that 30 second, 25 second mark, you know they're gonna start collapsing on bomb. That gives you the window to start making those plays.
I also feel like I've seen Vegas play this, like, exact defensive setup on this bomb site, like this post-plant setup, like, every time. Geo's always top blue. I still remember being up there on the Toronto Ultra Series. So, like, you got to think these guys probably have an idea of where these guys are playing, and they're able to kill them
but
all.
But why? Why are you top blue? What does that get you?
He's watching flank, but I'm saying
that's all you're doing.
You can watch that flank from like a million spots where you're in a relevant trade. I don't know. Top blue is a horrible spot.
The common spots people play is they play top blue. They can play off angle bottom blue where you play that like planter next to tank looking at spawn, depending on the setup you have.
Yeah.
You're just out of the play, and your teammates are dropping, and you can't trade.
Well, that you'll see that comes into play during the phase series, too. That's the issue with that southern map.
And then we get into the 5-5 round, and they actually get an early first blood. Vegas was able to pick TJ. He goes down early in the round, and it's a 4v3 situation. I don't understand the play here from Purge. So he has Dylan looking over him, but I just don't think Purge needs to push this. If anything, he should just go to that car spot to his right and just lay down behind the car, like on the street, and just stay alive. That way Dylan can look over him and Purge can just keep popping up and checking bomb. But instead, he kind of plays his angle here. And but the minute he laid down right here, like the minute he laid down here, I knew he was going to get – I knew right here he was fucked. Like right here, bro, you're just asking to get fucking shit on.
Yeah.
Bro, he's going to come around the corner. He's going to camera. He's going to head glitch that truck.
Crazy?
And
I wouldn't
chucked.
Have minded this play if he was standing. And on top of that, if he went a little bit more forward, there's a bench to his left.
Mm-hmm.
He can jump on top of it. So if a guy comes around that corner, he
better
has
angle.
Height on him. It's a better angle. And he would absolutely obliterate this guy coming back to pick him up. I just think he just... The idea was good. It's just his execution was fucking terrible.
I mean, to be fair, he probably thought that Dylan was looking over him, maybe. Like, maybe he thought, like...
he's never going to help you from this angle.
Right, Dylan's not going to kill him fast enough. Like, he's so far back.
Anything. Yeah, he's not going to kill him fast enough.
And then, I mean, and then he dies. So, boom, he dies. Now it's a 3v3 situation. And now you can see Carolina, they're able to get onto that bomb. And they get the bomb down as well. In Carolina, they get another pick here. It was number 3, I believe, Gwyn, on the pinch. Who was able to find? Or actually, was it number? Was it Gwyn?
I think it was Gwyn.
He makes a play. He's able to catch Nero on the flank here, and that's pretty much all she wrote. Like with 30 seconds left, bomb down, 3v2 situation. Carolina got this in a bag.
4v3. Why even do that?
Right.
The round was over as soon as you did that.
And here's the thing too. Even if it's a 4v3 situation and they get the bomb down, it's okay. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing if they get the bomb down A in a 4v3. Let them plant. Let them plant the bomb. What are they going to do when they get the bomb down A? They're either going to sit corners on site or they're going to run back into cafe and shut the doors.
Yeah.
At that point, let them run into cafe. Somebody have the bomb.
He also lays at that spot that Pred laid in their series behind the dumpster on the porch and just looking at River.
Yeah.
Attach was looking over him. Mm-hmm. Like, it comes down to the same scenario we talked about the other day. Round 11, you have the advantage. Do nothing.
Yeah. Stop trying to make a play.
Do nothing. Yeah. I don't understand.
You only get the green light when you're down a man and you have to make something happen. That's where you have the green light to go do something. You know, when you're up a man, like, you got to stay disciplined and make sure you're playing together. And that's just not what Vegas did. And Carolina, you can see how hyped up they were to win that match. I mean, that was a big match for them.
Look at Brian's reaction come up on stage.
No, I saw him with Brian. Comedy, bro. Brian was hyped the fuck up, bro. Good shots there from Tyler Fellow, and see they're all hyped up. And look at Brian Saint in the back getting turned on. My man just fresh off the rave with Christopher Duarte.
Nah,
he didn't. You know what I mean?
He didn't come with me.
But that's good work from Carolina. They're able to get the dub onto Vegas, and that's going to do it for the series. Gentlemen, any final thoughts on the Vegas-Carolina series?
I kind of just want to echo what Pat said. Like, I think Vegas is playing well. I don't think that even with this result, they should make a change. I know a lot of people are like out for Purge's head, but he played way better this weekend.
Yeah,
he played not only better this weekend, but better this entire stage. And he's always in the right spot, doing the right thing most of the time. He just happens to not get the kill sometimes. But he kept them in the series,
except
man.
For
I know
five,
you
five.
Highlighted the one break at the end of the Rio, but it was the P4, P5, and P1 that he made plays to break those hills on. So I know we just looked at the one, but there were multiple. And he had 10 game five. I'm not going to sit here and apologize for that absolute blunder round 11, but he was doing his thing, and I think that this Vegas team is good and should continue to build right now. And on the other side, Carolina, like, I almost dislike that they got top six because they're not going to make a change when they're going to go home and not compete.
Yeah, we've seen it before with a lot of teams in the past. They like get this good placing, and they're like it, and for some reason it seems like it validates their team. But the reality is, like, this is just a one-off. They got a bye versus Miami, and then got a Neslo against Vegas, where Vegas literally trolled two rounds in Game Five. So, yeah, I mean, Carolina should absolutely still be looking at roster changes if they intend to do anything else this year.
I think for Vegas, I think Vista coming in might help them out map wise. I think their biggest thing to work on over the next couple of weeks is S&D, especially on offense. I think this team still struggles to get first blood. I think this team still struggles to close out rounds on offense. They clean it up. They got a pretty favorable start. They play LAG and Thieves off the rip before they play some, you know, like New York type style teams. So I think Vegas, if they can keep this momentum going, will be a force amongst the bottom eight, I guess, next split.
Yep. Let's move on.
Force against the bottom eight.
The bottom eight.
Beyond that,
but you get my point.
Let's move on to the next series of the day. That's going to do it for Carolina Vegas, but we move on. Obviously, Vegas got eliminated from the tournament. What do they get? Top eight? Top six?
Vegas got top eight. And we'll get to Carolina.
All right, let's move on. We got the New York Subliners going up against Atlanta FaZe. This one goes all the way down to a map number 5. FaZe win the first two maps. New York win the next two, the 3 and 4, and then it goes down to a last and final map on Invasion S&D where FaZe were able to close it out. We'll scroll down and take a look here at the stat sheet. Looks like a red carpet here, except for skies on the side of the New York Subliners, and on the other side, it's all green for Atlanta FaZe. 20,000 damage for Draza. 105 kills.
In the series, right?
They broke the kill record. He must have broke the was that the damage record?
107.
You told me he broke it.
They broke the damage record.
The damage record.
He didn't have 20,000. He had 21,000 damage. He missed it by fucking three.
Oh, shit. That's fucking insane.
To be honest, he would have broke it, but he had a pretty poor map 5. I mean, granted, he didn't have to do anything. All his teams went off, but like, I think he only got 2 kills map 5. So he probably would have broke it otherwise.
Yeah, no, it was a really good plays from Zach. But go ahead, Ben. Why don't you start things off? What did you think of the series?
I think 2 things about this series. One is, if you're a FaZe fan, that Terminal S&D was fucking clinical.
And yeah, it was flawless.
If you think about the rest of the tournament, the teams they're going to play, they all have to have a real thing now. FaZe has not played a lot of Terminal Search, but both times we've seen it, they've looked absolutely dominant. I thought Ibiza was an absolute force in the S&Ds, but man, you know, a lot of up and down for draws the last couple of series. He was an absolute force in this one. Chris did his thing. Didn't have his best day, but still played pretty good. And obviously, we'll get the MC. He's always going positive. Made some big plays in this one. Excited to see FaZe play against their opponent in winner's bracket final. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
Yeah, Sam, why don't you go ahead? What did you think about the series? This was a grueler. Went all the way down to a last map. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, continuing their Rio dominance. They're undefeated on it, I believe, at this point, like 4-5-0. They are by far and away the best team on that map. Terminal Search was really good. They've only played it like once or twice. So to see them continuing to get a good game plan on the map is great. The control was really where I got lost. I was confident this was going to be a 3-0, just because they have been by far and away the best control team, specifically on High Rise as well. That's like their bread and butter. I think they were like 6-0 or 5-0 prior to this series. And New York won triple defense by what, 1 kill? I think FaZe missed it.
Yeah.
On the round 4.
5 defenses in a row.
They just showed some good ice in the game 5, but there was a couple banger moments in this series. I'm sure we'll get to with the clips.
Yeah, there's some clips. There's also some drama and some controversy.
Yeah, there's some drama in this series for sure.
We'll definitely get to. I have it pulled up.
I think on the control front, you know, what was interesting about that map, and I think Maven called it out, is I think FaZe had a couple of moments in the first couple of rounds, so they got some 3 or 4 deads, and then they never got any of the next set of kills, and then end up getting put in the, you know, blender. And if you played High Rise control and you get put in the fucking spawn trap and you're an offense, GG, go next.
Yeah. Chris, what did you think about the series?
I mean, FaZe looked really good in the maps they won. I thought New York was going to push this to a map 5, or not map 5. I thought New York was going to take it when it went to map 5, just because we know that New York's S&D has been pretty much like uncontested, at least in this stage.
Yeah.
But they lost 2 S&Ds in the series, which I thought was very surprising. I mean, FaZe just looked really good. Like, they seem to have made a lot of improvements as a team. And, yeah, the Rio, they just...
Yeah, especially in S&D. They looked really good.
The FaZe S&D front, you know, they obviously, last time they played New York, they had won the respawns, but, you know, lost the S&Ds. And I think, obviously, they, you know, wanted to avenge that. And the terminal pick was interesting. And I thought the invasion search, you know, I was really critical of FaZe's invasion S&D probably last, like, 3 times they played it. I thought they did a really good job executing their game plan, but I think more importantly, and we'll get to a clip here, they did a really good adjusting to a wallbang spot they probably hadn't really seen before in a match. Maybe they've seen it in scrims, we don't know. Mm-hmm. But they started adjusting to that instantly the next offensive round, which we complain about search teams not adjusting. There's nothing with this FaZe team. We always are tipping
their ability to adjust.
That wallbang spot is cheese.
New York, that's going to get cheese. That
spot
will get
cheese. They have 2 wallbangs.
It might get patched, but there's no way like that's not like a thing in the GA chat. Because
bro, are we forgetting that FaZe is literally the team that did that first? They did this like the opening weekend of the game. MC weeks ago, months ago.
Yeah, MC did it from in ice cream, and then Paco today did it from all the way back Palace. Which I was like, what the fuck? And Paco, the one that he did on A-Bomb, I've never seen that in my life.
That wasn't in this series. It was in the next series.
Yeah, have you ever seen that?
No, that shit's crazy.
I've never seen that wallbang in my life. I was just fucking shocked.
They saved
that.
They saved that for sure.
Those clips look insane. They'll probably take a look at those and maybe catch them.
Pat, what were your thoughts on the series, man? FaZe got the dub, last map. What did you think?
It was a good series. I'm glad it went the distance. I think these teams are very close, and I'm glad it wasn't like it was online when FaZe got 3-0'd. But S&D looking great for FaZe. Also, speaking of that spot, like I like that FaZe quickly adapted to it. Draws, I think, caught it out. He was like, we're just going to smoke the street and plant different, like which they did the next round. And even though that spot, they were still trying to use that spot. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good series, and yeah, I liked as well that Terminal was kind of going to be one of their stronger maps, I expect, the rest of this tournament, and still dominant at Rio, which is good because Didn't NYSL 3-0 phase no. online?
No, it was game 5 round 10.
What game 5? But
which
they
team did NYSL 3-0 online?
Everyone that's not in the top 5. Or top 4 team.
Nah, hold on, bro. Let me look.
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
They played. They lost to Optic.
They're spamming CTE in the chat.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Hold on. I'm about to look because I'm about to have a no ball scenario, I think.
Yeah. While you're looking, just to pull up a clip from the first map, Rio, I really like the way Draws pushed this out here and got aggressive. He was able to find a big three-piece here. And I was able to get FaZe into that hard point, and that was able to get them broken. Because it was New York who got here initially, and it was Draza who takes the route, gets the three-piece, and kind of breaks on in. And then this hill gets pretty mixy. Starts going back and forth, a lot of trades going down. Hill stays white a little bit. And you can see just how the gunfights go down. But I just really like the way that Atlanta FaZe played the rotation back to P1. I thought they did a really good job here. You can see Sim. He's the
Ultra.
One.
Ultra. That's the one I was thinking of.
Toronto Ultra, yeah. Simp, he gets here early, and I think this was big. I don't know how he doesn't die here. He stays alive, and he gets two somehow on that rotation. Big plays from Simp. Then Abizi, he's able to buy some time for Abizi. He's in the play. And then FaZe, they just do a good job working the kills here. You can see the setup that they have. The split spawn comes in from New York, and I'm thinking, oh, shit, this might collapse. But then the trade comes in from Abizi. Kismet was able to find two off that spawn, Selim gets the trade onto Kismet, and then bada bang, bada boom, this one's all over. The FaZe boys were able to win these fights and close out the Rio hardpoint. It was a grueler of a map for Rio. It started out really good for FaZe, and then New York was bringing it back, and I really like the way they played that rotation there. You would do anything differently if you're in New York, or do you think FaZe just was able to just win the fight? So I think if anything, you got to trade out Simp. I don't know how he stayed alive.
Mixfest is P1. I just, bro, the
I don't
the
know how they didn't kill
FaZe,
him.
I just don't know how you beat them on the hill. Like they're just.
I definitely think that the play that Simp makes won him this hill. If he doesn't get there early and win these two, and get these two kills here, and they're able to kill him, I think it'll open things up a little bit for New York. But Simp just goes fucking big. And makes a play. So great plays coming in from Sim. FaZe is able to win the map number 1.
You guys think Optic squares up against FaZe on this map?
I could see it. I think
vetoed Rio against Ultra. And FaZe is the best team with the game on this shit.
Yeah, but Optic's good at Rio too.
Ultra? Yeah, they vetoed against Ultra. Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of telling. I'm gonna say it. That's kind of telling.
No chance in hell that we see a Rio hard point tomorrow in that series.
Well, so here's the thing: is Optic. Well, Optic play FaZe on Karachi hardpoint because that is another sneaky good FaZe map. So I actually am very curious.
I mean, it might be a sneaky good FaZe map. But at the end of the day, like they're undefeated on map. You're not playing them on that map.
I would hope so. I'd fucking
Optic
hope
also
so.
Beat Toronto.
The way it looks is it'll probably go down to FaZe or Optic vetoing Rio, FaZe vetoing Subbase, and then. They'll get their pick of the litter, and then FaZe is going to pick. FaZe should pick Karachi, probably, and then Optic will pick either Skid Row or Invasion.
I think if this set is somehow Karachi, Rio Hardpoints, that's a big dub.
They'll probably pick Skid Row, right? Yeah. I think Optic picks Skid Row over Invasion.
I would fucking hope so.
There'll be a combo about it. They won it today, and then FaZe lost Invasion, so I'm sure there'll be a little bit of a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Then we hop into the control. So it's 4 defensive rounds in a row. Nobody can win an offense, and we get to the overtime. FaZe do a good job capping that B point nice and early. Zach has a streak. Draws has a streak in hand. So I'm thinking Atlanta FaZe is getting that overtime superpower and going to win this offense here. But I just didn't like the way they used the streak. I mean, it was kind of unfortunate. So this is kind of where the streak goes down. And it starts, and I think it's because Abizi gets through. Maybe that's why he called the streak here. But I think the biggest thing here is when he calls the streak, Simp loses the fight, bottom blue. And then Abizi, he's able to get one, but gets instantly traded. It just felt like they got nothing from the streak, and they just kind of wasted it. And there was a few opportunities where they got kills, and I felt like they could have gotten the point and maybe made plays. But New York do a really good job, obviously, holding Atlanta FaZe into the spawn and getting the W here, winning this last defense. What did you guys think about the streak right there? Did you like that or no?
Nah, I think there was a little bit before Tyler ended up underground when you and I thought that he should have been playing the point.
It was a little bit before. It was right here. So I think Tyler should have went to the point here. So you can see they all die here. So it starts with Tyler. He wins this one here. I think if Tyler gets on the point here and stops the clock, it can buy some time. Maybe he can finesse and Atlanta fit, and then the rest of his teammates can kind of, make a play. Even if he gets on the point here, like I'm thinking right here, BZ gets this kill. right? Hop the point, draws a streak. Call it a day.
The issue with the streak is even if he gets a kill, they're still so far out of the play. Like, MC's there, but, like, you have one off spawn. Zach would basically be, like, he would be in a streak in their base. So, yeah. Like, it would, even with a streak in the air, it's still not really favorable for FaZe. So I understand why they didn't. But yeah. I still think that Tyler should have at least hopped the point to play off something with MC.
Yeah. I guess the way I'm looking at it, Sam, is you know, if Abe gets in the point there and the streak goes up, that's going to force New York to stay inside. And then they're going to, and then FaZe coming off spawn, that's going to allow them to kind of take that space and get back to the point before New York can. Because if the streak's in the air, New York is just going to stay inside in the windows and shit.
The only issue with it is, though, is that it's Tyler on the point and not Zach or Sel. So he's dead immediately off spawn regardless.
Abe could have also got on the point like for a couple seconds and like timed it and like ran off when he started to feel pressure.
Yeah.
Because the problem is now is they know that he's blue, right? Because he didn't touch the point, so he's going to be blue. And like this is just going to turn all their focus to this side of the map, so he essentially like baits MC because like they know to look towards blue, and MC happens to be on that side of the map when Abe gets by. So
yeah,
they needed to kind of split New York's focus there and maybe stop the clock a little bit to kind of help their teammates advance.
Yeah, I also want to talk about Paco a little bit. This guy is fucking incredible, bro. Paco is insane.
He's playing well.
He's a bailout. I mean, bro, I feel like he started slow in the series, but when he kicks into that gear and he gets into that flow state, it's really hard to kill that guy. Like he was playing really well, including this map and the fourth map. He was just going off. It was just
best
really
POV in the CDL by far.
I think he's got the best POV in my opinion. I think Paco's insane. Who do you guys have as your best POV in the CDL? Ben, who's your best POV? There's a lot of good POVs,
For sub players,
probably either Tyler Beezy or Paco, or
I mean, it's just any of the superstar subs.
Yeah. I think
yeah, the superstar subs.
Ant's got a good POV. Oh, I think it's a superstar sub.
I think Hydros and Shotzi's are probably the most entertaining. But one that's kind of interesting, at least from a sub perspective, one that's kind of interesting to watch is Preds, because Preds is like, I compare him to like a hunting animal. Like, he just kind of like always gets to these spots where he's just waiting, and then like when he pounces, he explodes. Like, it's actually kind of fun to watch.
No, that's actually a really good analogy.
I'm serious. Like, that's literally how he plays. He literally plays like his gamer tag. Like, I swear to God, he does.
No, that's actually like,
I swear he does, dude.
What the fuck am I doing?
No, I'm serious. Like, Pat doesn't even watch, bro. Like,
I think we have.
He was watching today. Slay was watching today. He just can't watch on Friday.
He does, dude.
What's up, Ben?
I guess you were a teammate, like your gamer tag. What'd you say, Ben?
I don't know.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Well, you don't want to say?
I was going to segue us, but you can do it if you want.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's hop into the next clip. Now, this is where the controversy begins. It's in the last map, the first round. People are saying MC snaked. Some people are saying it wasn't a snake. Let's tune in and let's see what you guys think. So I'm just going to let it play out in real speed first, just so people can see it, and then we'll slow it down as well. But he pops up. He gets two. He lays down. Now, people are arguing that those are crouches right there and that he didn't fully stand up and snake them. And other people are arguing that that's three pumps. That's a clear snake. Clear as day. That's a snake. And it's a broken GA. Now,
I'm also saying it's impressive you got a name to fucking stun off that sequence too. But
And I'll even slow it down for you guys just so you guys can see it. But
person, that's literally the only thing that matters. Just go to after the round when they go to the cams. Just go to the third person.
Yeah, I'll slow it down. We'll play this and then I'll pull up the third person and we'll show everything. But I'll ask you guys. I mean, Sam, we'll start with you. What did you think? Think it's a snake?
Based on the third person, yeah. It's like kind of hard to discern when you're watching the first person point of view, but I mean, we're going to argue whether he's like crouching or laying down or whatever, bro. Like he's going up and down. Like it looks like one to me.
Okay. So you think it's a snake?
Yeah.
Pat, what do you think?
It's for sure a snake, but I think we're taking away from how impressive that stun grenade was.
That's great tax.
That was an insane, insanely accurate stun grenade, but it was absolutely a snake. No doubt about it. He did three pumps, and he was snaking so fast he couldn't stand all the way up in the middle.
This is the replay right here. This is the 3P at the end right here. This is where I saw it, and I was like, oh, yeah, maybe he did snake. Because at first, I initially said he was crouching. And he did. It was a crouch, right? I guess that's where it gets weird. It's like,
go back one more time. Let me watch that one more time.
Because we, in the ruling of the GA, crouching is allowed. So bobbing up and down with a crouch is allowed. So the fact that he doesn't stand all the way up, a lot of people were saying that it's not he didn't break it. He didn't break the GA because he didn't stand all the way up. But if that's the case, do we need to change the ruling?
I mean, the pumps behind cover, more than two. That was a snake.
Chris, what did you think?
I don't know, bro. It's kind of, I don't know.
Suddenly I went blind and I didn't see it. I didn't think it was a snake.
You know,
suddenly.
It looks weird.
We did get an official statement from MC, and then he said, quote, "There's no haters, Ben. Tell Tommy to rip that card up and give me the pawn instead."
MC's stupid, man. MC's hilarious. He's a moron.
But yeah, I think this is a weird one with the stun nade situation. So very curious what the chat thinks, or the GA chat, not the Twitch chat, because y'all can say whatever you want. What the pro players think, because this one might need an amendment to the GA to clarify what to do in the situation.
Well, no, I think it comes down to the pros. Yeah. Like, whatever they think. I don't know if New York didn't say anything about it. They didn't mention anything. I know Kismet got interviewed by Gersh in the flank afterwards. I think the only thing Kismet said was, "MC keeps shooting my body, so I want revenge. I want to come back because Selene just keeps shooting everybody's body." I'm not really too sure. I think the pros need to just look at it and decide whether or not they thought it was a snake and just make a decision on a punishment. Because if you break a GA, you gotta get a punishment. That's just how it goes, no matter who you are, no matter who you play for. So at the end of the day, we can have our own opinions on it. The pros are just going to have to make their opinions. I did give MC the red card. I did throw the red card at MC today. I had to throw the red card at him. But again, it's whatever the pros think. And I will ask you guys, Sam, Pat, Chris, Ben, say the pros do say he's snake. What do you think the punishment should be? What do you guys think?
Whatever it is for everybody else. Like whatever amount of no scrim time that they need.
I'd love to know because the punishments are not public. So
right. What was the punishment with?
Wasn't it like no scrim, like no scrims or something?
Like
or
for
no
instance,
because
it started with Seattle.
Yeah, for one of their matches.
It started with Seattle.
It's always just not going to affect them.
Seattle, then New York, and Seattle again.
Seattle. Now
it won't occur tomorrow, no matter what, because there's only four teams left, and so they have to warm up each other regardless. Yeah, so it would occur when they get back home, whenever start of Major 3 is.
That's just not gonna matter. It's phase, like no warm up. Okay, who are they gonna play? Florida.
They just play challenger teams or whatever. But anyway, we'll follow up with this one after the event and try to get to the bottom.
Yeah, we're gonna figure out more info here and see what the hell is going on. But drop a 1 in the chat if you think he was snaking. Drop a 2 in the chat if you think he's clean. I'm actually curious in the comments down below too what you guys think. But if people do think it's a snaking, the pros want to talk about maybe changing. I don't know. Maybe we need to change the ruling or something.
I mean,
you know, because it gets with this whole crouching shit gets a little weird. But. Yeah, had to throw the red card out at MC today. Had to throw it out. But any other thoughts on this play, guys, before we move in? It was a great play from MC. Clutch is the 1v3.
Yeah,
but
great three-piece by MC.
A great three-piece there by MC. Pops up, he gets two, and obviously those extra two pumps there when he's throwing the tax is where there was some controversy. But any thoughts on that one, on that clip, guys? Any more thoughts before
MC's
we move on?
MC's cracked, bro. Holy shit, he's the goat.
But you know, everybody's got to be treated equally, no matter who broke the GA, no matter who they play for. You know, I just don't know. None of the pros said anything, and New York didn't say anything. I don't know if they even cared. I have no idea. I'm curious.
I mean, they were getting shot in the back. They probably don't even give a fuck.
I don't even know. I just thought I was surprised. I don't know. Got to talk to them. I'm not really too sure what's going on. But let's move on. We'll see what happens. We'll keep you guys updated on that. But FaZe, they continued to win rounds. And again, they made the S&D look good. This was the 1-2 round here. This was the wall bang here from Paco. Just to kind of show, so you see number 4 over there on the mini map. He's all the way back palace right there. I'm going to pause it here. You can see Paco, look how far away he is. So when MC was doing it, he was in ice cream. Yeah. I've never seen anybody do it from back there. And I wonder why he's doing it from back there. I don't know if that's
you can see the B cross from where he is.
And Sam, is it a better angle because he's up higher? Because it might be a better angle because he's up higher.
Yeah, because you can get up like on the counter in ice cream to shoot down too. I don't think it changes the angle at all. But you can get guaranteed info from where Paco is on the stairs for the B Street cross.
Yeah, it was really good. So you can see the wall bangs come in and see how Simp dies there. Just really good plays from Paco, and he does it again. I think somebody else tries to get onto the bomb. I'll fast forward it a little bit. Yeah, somebody else, he wallbangs another one. So Abizi tries to hop on a bomb. He was obviously one shot because Dante lights him up and Paco finds another wallbang and picks up 2 on the round just from fucking shooting through walls. So Paco doing some extra work in the private matches and finding some angles. You know what I mean? What did you guys think about the wallbang there?
I thought it was funny. The next offensive round, Tyler Abizi said, fuck this. I'm going to ice game, and I'm killing Paco myself.
Yeah, no, it was a good play. We'll obviously get to there. And then I want to show the 3-3 round here. So let's swap on over. Sorry, guys. Give me 1 second here. Swap on over here. This is the 3-3 round. You can see it's a 2v2 situation. New York is able to get the bomb down. It's actually a 2v3 situation. I don't know why Dante decided to push through dark here. I don't know where he's going.
I think he's trying to pinch, but like it's definitely a rogue ass fucking play to make before this bomb goes down. No,
I mean, why? It's a 3v3. You're mid tank. Like it. I don't mind somebody making a play, but I don't think he should be doing it right now.
There's like also usually a player at B, so like, is he playing to like catch this guy rapping?
I have no idea.
Sim's a B player, and he was definitely still alive. So.
Yeah, like right there, bro. Kismet gets the blood. I just don't think Dante should be running through dark. I think he should be playing with his team. They have numbers. Like they're getting the bomb down.
He was just faded. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, he blacked out there.
What do you think about this Kismet play too? Because he almost tries the same as.
I think he tried to catch somebody slipping.
Yeah,
I think as the bomb gets planted, right as soon as that bomb goes down, I think Kismet's thinking maybe I could catch somebody slipping here, trying to push like street and maybe catch somebody sprinting. But MC has his gun up, holds the iron, and he was able to get a blood there. And Skies, he's all by himself. He's alone. The smoke comes in. FaZe, they smoke out the bomb, forces Caesar to try and get out there and try and get an angle. But the trades come in, and MC with another trade there, another round on the board for Atlanta FaZe. So maybe a troll there. What'd you guys say? I thought that was a troll from New York, personally.
Yeah, they got mid-tank control on offense, which is something you don't get super often, and with an A plan to boot, and Dante kind of just gave it away. So, yeah, I think blacking out through dark, ironically, is
Dante
probably
had a lot
there.
Of – Dante in this series and the other series today had a lot of overchills in S&D in situations where, you know, we talked about with the earlier series, where all he has to do is chill and put off of info and then make a play.
Yeah, and then we hop into the 3-4 round. This is where Beezy just, he counters it. He counters the wall bang. Paco keeps doing it over and over again, and you can see Beezy. He doesn't give a fuck. He challenges it. He kills Hydra. Draws is able to find a kill, pushing through dark, and immediately bomb down 3v2 situation. I also like how Simp changed up where he planted the bomb. So he couldn't get wall banged. He planted on the backside and just had somebody look at her heady. I mean, it's always sketchy planning right there because I think maybe if they're concrete wall, like where Selenium is right now, they might be able to get an angle. But it was a great round, a great adjustment. I think that's just what FaZe does well. They adapt. They're able to adapt. They know the setups. They know what New York is going to do, and they play around it, and they make some adjustments, some mid-round adjustments, and it played out good for them. Anybody else got any thoughts there on that clip? Sam, Chris, Ben?
No, it was just great by Tyler, to be honest. Pushing out Paco, and the smoke plan was just great mid-round adaptation for sure.
Yeah, no, it was a really good place. Like the adjustment and adapting. So, and then FaZe, obviously, they go out. They ran through the search. They end up winning 6-3 in that one. And it was a really good series. It goes all the way down to the wire, and they move on to play Optic Texas in the winner's final, which we'll obviously give our thoughts there at the end of the show. But, guys, any final thoughts on the New York Subliners and Atlanta FaZe?
I have one, which is on the FaZe side. Want to see them clean up the control issues at this Atlanta. We're undefeated online. I've lost two of this split. To me, it's a game where I feel they have a big advantage against the next team they're going to play in winners' finals. We'll get to that in a sec.
I think on the New York side, they have an advantage on optic and control?
They did before this tournament, maybe not so much now. So if they can work on those issues, they can maybe get that advantage back, is what I'm saying.
That's a take.
Whatever. Anyway, and then on the New York side, I thought they adjusted well in the losers' semis or losers' quarterfinal match. Losers' semis match. Losers' quarterfinal match. They played after this series. I'm excited to see them play their opponent. I think they need a little more consistency from the Bulldog. I think he had a kind of a rough one today.
They also just need to like get back their S&D form, losing both to FaZe, and especially 6-3, 6-2. I think it's just uncharacteristic of them.
They were laying down some fucking damage. I mean, they were in the 80s, 90 kills, like 18K damage. I mean, I don't think the Bulldog played that bad today, Ben. I think he was just maybe
he's the only one shooting back for them on the map one.
Oh, 100%. The other maps were a little bit. I mean, look, at the end of the day,
I thought New York played good, to be honest. I thought they trolled a couple rounds in the S&D.
I mean, I think the slay numbers are definitely a little bit lopsided.
100%. Well, Atlanta FaZe
on the two hard points.
They are, but a lot of it, like, for Kismet, at least, he just has extra deaths. Like, when you look at, a stat sheet where, like, everyone's, like, a 0.9 on one side and the other team's, like, a 1.0 or over, for the most part, it's literally like they're missing every trade. Like in a hypothetical situation, they're missing every trade situation, but like one. Yeah. Like it's like it's like trade. They come on top. Like, and that's how exactly that's how one of the maps went. So like, when you're looking at the slaying numbers, like especially like point nines, like you kind of like don't really you don't you shouldn't really take anything away from it other than like they're missing trades like by one.
That's exactly
which is
how Invasion went the map for.
Patrick Price, the Slayer. Any thoughts? Any final thoughts on a series?
I mean, I just want to give some credit to Draza. I thought, you know, maps 1-4, he was lights out. Obviously, he had a lackluster game 5, but he was shooting. And so it was a typical series out of him.
Mm-hmm. That guy had so many engagements. Holy fuck. He had 105 kills, but only a 1.08. He was...
They went like 32 and 24.
That boy was sprinting, dude.
Well, I even think when he... With that series where he had like double nines and was like getting shit on... Like, he still had the same damage as all his teammates. Like, I think one thing...
17,000 damage.
Yeah, he had 17,000 damage with, like, a terrible KD, and it's like, you know, I think that's one thing about Zach is no matter how bad a map is going, he doesn't lose his confidence. Like, he's constantly trying to make plays. He elevates the people around him. Like, I know Mud Dog was saying it in the watch party. Obviously, Draza was with Thieves. Sam, you played with Zach. Just the way that he plays and obviously his passion and how hard he goes, he's a great teammate to have on your team.
Yep.
Any other thoughts, guys, or you want to move on? You guys ready to move on?
No, let's move on.
Okay, let's move on to the next series of the day. That's going to do it for New York Atlanta FaZe. This was another banger. We got Optic Texas going up against Toronto Ultra. Optic get the 3-1 victory over Toronto. We'll scroll down, take a look at the stat sheet. Almost a red carpet here for the Toronto Ultra. You do not see that often. Scrap obviously had an incredible series, but... You see Dylan Envoy, he struggled, minus 31 in the series. You know, had the same amount of damage as his teammates, except for Scrap. But clearly, Dylan was going through it in this one. Just had one of those series where things were not going his way. And then on the other side, just pretty balanced across the board. Everybody from Optic pulling weight and doing what they had to do. I thought Optic looked great today. They look really comfortable right now, man. They didn't lose online. They come to the event. They continue to take down top teams. I mean, they took down the Major 1 champs today. And I'll be honest, I thought they made it look pretty easy, too. It wasn't so easy. They're obviously playing Toronto Ultra, but it seemed comfortable. And it seemed like they stayed ahead of the game. And they seemed, I guess the perfect word here is prepared. Like, they seemed very prepared going into this event. And I'm sure JP and Damon got these guys, you know, super locked in. They look great. They look really good. I mean, Ben, we'll start with you. Well, what did you think about Optic in Toronto? What did you think about this series?
Well, you know, Optic's Karachi hardpoint at the beginning of this split and sort of coming after Major 1 was definitely one of their weaker hardpoints, and I feel like they made some good progress there. I thought they played the map brilliantly. The Invasion search was excellent. I mean, Toronto's S&D, we'll probably get to it here in a sec, but it's an absolute shit show right now. Some gritty Invasion control. Don't want to waste too much on that. But you know what? Superstar players make superstar plays, and the play they made on the Skid Row hardpoint to really turn a tie in that game was the reason this one did not go to 5 maps, and Optic was able to close it out in 4.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. Chris, what did you think about the series?
I mean, yeah, Optic played really well, but I think the main story of this on the Toronto side is just Envoy having an absolutely fucking stinker
series.
Today,
yeah.
He actually had a stinker.
He had a rough day. He had a rough day.
He wasn't playing too well even against LAG. But, I mean, like, you got to think with the hard points being a little, like, pretty relatively close, I think Envoy plays this plays better today. This probably does go to a map 5 series. Like, he just got absolutely cooked. On top of that, Optic made some insane bailout plays, like, where they basically had one man in an unwinnable situation, and there was 1% of him making it out, and he made the perfect play. It happened with both Pred and Shotzi, but Shotzi's play was literally what turned them into giving them a chance, because they were about to, if they lost that P2 row and ISO'd Shotzi and killed him, they pretty much lose that P2 row, and then the game just completely spirals out of control. But Shotzi winning that basically just gave them essentially a full 60 and brought them back into that game, and then it all
Why
fell
were they
apart
down so much, Chris?
I mean, they were just getting cooked.
Oh, okay, because what I saw was a 5-17 Shotzi make a good play to bring their team back into the game, but for me, my thoughts on this series was map 2 was phenomenal out of Optic. But if Envoy spawned in and didn't go neg 30, I mean, both these hard points were pretty close. And I think we could have had a completely different series if he was playing like himself. I can't remember, Sam, like you may know, Have you ever? When's the last time Envoy played this bad?
The last time they played off
in a day. In a day, like back to back series. Like he just had a really shit day.
This happened in the beginning of the year, Pat, didn't it?
He had one map.
The boss is hers.
Yeah, he got pulled down, and then after that, he was like godlike.
I will say that both of the series that we just watched were actually just like really weird because Toronto being the best hardpoint team in the game, at least before this major or before the major, and then New York being the best S&D team in the game, they both lost their best game modes twice to their opposing team. So I think we should give some credit to Pred here.
I don't think Pred had a bad map. He was the best player on all four maps today for this OpTic squad.
He's still showing up on land.
We basically had the exact same series we had online. We had a Pred versus Scrappy superstar battle, and it was a good series.
Yeah.
I just think, bro, I don't know what happened with this Toronto Ultra team, but their S&D, the last like five or six maps they played has been just been bad. I don't know what to say. Like
they don't. It's literally that they don't have another staple map besides Karachi S&D, and they can't play it against this team.
Yeah.
So like this matchup in specific is just not a good matchup for Toronto because if they're not on point in the respawns, which we saw, they're going to lose to this team every time just because they're going to get outvetoed in those game twos and game fives.
I will say this. They're going to be very aggressive in getting one of these S&D maps out of the pool. I would assume Terminal for Vista or Departures after this major because to your point, they need to find something new because they don't play iRise. They don't play Terminal. They tried Rio a bunch of times before the split. It didn't work out. Yeah, Skid Row getting removed is a big loss for this team.
Yeah. It's a big loss. Let's move in or move on. Unless you guys have anything else to say, I want to get to clips. Unless anybody has anything else before we move on.
There's a lot
on.
Of clips from the series.
Yeah, a lot of clips for sure. Let's move on to the first map. This was the Karachi here. We go into the P3 here. And I just didn't like the streak here from Scrap. I don't know why he streaked. They have a perfect setup. Kleenex gets two. The streak comes down. They waste it. Envoy gets three. And then I believe OpTic even makes this mixy here and gets in here for a second. But I think Toronto does get most of the time. I just thought I thought Scrappy burned the streak there. I thought he should have saved it and kept it.
There was a listening when they call for the streak. And even in the comms, it was like kind of apprehensive. It was like Scrap was like, I could streak here. And Jamie said,
Let's tune in. Let's give it 10 seconds. Let's tune in and see what they were saying during the listening here.
We're blocking bridge right now.
I don't know.
That's once.
I might cruise.
You can if you want.
They're going to go third to me.
One's me.
Bruh.
One's running at time.
I'm gonna pause it there. Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like the cruise.
Yeah, it was not a setup play. Yeah. I don't think that you could've should be it. Streaking to hold a 4v4 like initial rotation unless it ends the game. If it ends the game and it's like if we hold this, like basically it's dagger time or the game literally ends, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I always am a proponent of keeping a streak for a proactive play. And I think when you're 4v4 P3 rotation on Karachi, it's already an ideal situation. I don't think using a streak here is good. Plus, you know you're going to get to a P5 based on the score of this
map. Exactly.
Having a streak for a P5 break is always ideal.
Tom, can I go back and see what happened after they streaked and how they got broken?
Oh, shit, I just exit out. But yeah,
sorry.
I can go back if you want. You want to see before?
I just want to see right after this. No, after the streak comes down, I want to see how they got broken after the streak because they did get a set of kills. I'm wondering if somebody on their team could have taken some space to block a spawn, or if there was just like an open gap that OpTic was able to find. Because I'm just curious.
I gotta go back and go get it.
Because you gotta think with them getting like that many kills, they probably should have held another wave. But I think OpTic like walked all over them right after it. No.
No, I'm pretty sure OpTic got in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They just walked through their setup after the streak is what it was.
Yeah, but then Toronto gets right back in there, I believe. Like, OpTic didn't get in there much. I could be wrong, but let's tune in. We can take a look at the rotation here. So, I like how OpTic kept pressure on old, too. I feel like you always want to do that. But
yeah, you need to, so you can try to go through red.
So, this is kind of where it all happens. Listening starts. You can see the streak. I think this is where the streak comes down.
Yeah, streak's coming in.
I'm actually going to fast forward a little bit here because you want to see what happens after the streak.
Right after the streak.
So the streak comes down. The streak already happened now. Streak just fell. You can see Optic. They were able to make it a little mixy.
Wait, no, this was even way after the streak. Like, go right before. I'm sorry. I'm beat. Right, so it's right here. So they get all these kills. Number six could have maybe got three story steps, and he just ended up staying down there. Number three loses that fight. So they just get traded out, and they just have no space. Okay, never mind.
They get traded out.
I want to see. I think the only thing they could have done is probably tried to take three story, but I mean, they just got caught off.
Yeah, I thought it was a waste. You got a P5 coming up, a P1. You know, if this ends up being a grueling map, which it is, you want to keep that streak going into those hills. I mean, you can easily break it, and they could have really used it. I mean, this is an example of where they could have used it here. Got the last P5 hard point going into the P1, and this is where Shotzi makes a play. Take a look at number two on your mini map. He ends up pushing through satellite here, gets pushed up into their spawn, and he just delays Toronto Ultra. Toronto Ultra can't get to that next hill because Shotzi's making plays here. There's only one there. It's Envoy, and that's going to be the third from Ant. He's just finessing, making plays. He was able to find three there. That's going to get Optic into this hard point, and now this is where a streak would have been perfect. I mean, if Toronto has a streak here, it's just going to make their lives a lot easier. And they get in there. I mean, Toronto, they get on the point. They're able to get in there, but Optic, they only need 12 points here, and they do a good job just working the map and figuring out how to break the setup. Now, I don't know if you guys see anything from Toronto Ultra and where you think maybe they messed up, but I thought right here they were kind of in a tough spot. Because Optic only need 12 points. And they got chicken coop control and came through mid-cut. I think once that guy dies red, it's fucking chalked.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happens. You can see Shotzi's able to make a play through mid, and Optic yet again, they clutch up and get the dub. Would have been nice if Toronto had a streak, but they blew it. You can see how the Optic guys, how hyped they are after the map won. What'd you guys think at the end of the game right there? You think Toronto fucked up right there when they got in? I mean, at this point, you know, they're hanging on for dear life at this point.
Yeah, I mean, again, their setup is a product of their desperation, which... Yeah. It's never going to go well at that point. Your chances of winning
this
are just
was a
slim.
Big win, though. When Kenny kills him here, like if Envoy wins this initial fight here, I think it looks way different.
Nah, he was dead. There's a guy top three. He's getting traded.
Yeah, but it's still like an initial kill would have relieved a lot more pressure off the map.
He's top AC.
Okay, so watch played out.
Okay, I'm just telling. If Envoy wins this gunfight right here, boom, he wins this fight. Now the guy top three is going to jump at him and try and trade. The guy from Hill can maybe kill that guy. Boom.
Hey, AG's getting the kill and he's getting away.
Okay. What do you guys think?
I think
Envoy pushed up top AC, wins that 1v1 there.
He jumps down, finesses.
Finesses something, stays alive.
I think
their chances of winning are still slim, but to say that doesn't like maybe change the game.
Yeah, it's definitely still slim. I think it could have changed the game, though, for sure. It was a big win from Kenny.
Kenny would not be alive here on this B cut killing the guy red, like in a hypothetical.
Kenny winning those, getting those two kills right there won them the map.
Any kill on a break is a huge kill.
AG might kill the guy in Hill. I think the trade probably still would have gotten Optic's favor there.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, this entire play transpires because of what Ant did at the beginning of the clip.
Yeah.
Like, all of 100%. These, like, they couldn't get an ideal P1 rotation because Ant pushed out the left, so they couldn't get top three to cut out Optic from actually, like, getting to it. So they were late to the cut. Ken got through Coop because of it. So Ant getting the two-piece and then eventually the third kill and Dill to break the hill was, like, the event that kind of just forced all of what
it started with Ant. It started with Ant and ended with Kenny. I thought Kenny made a great play right there. And yeah,
just fucked up all of Ultra's timings off spawn, so they couldn't fill top three properly.
Yeah. And then we hop into the Skid Row. This was a map where, Pat, you were coming in saying Shotzi's getting pooped on. You kept saying it, but then he goes fucking rogue, and he wins a P2 hard point by himself for his squad. Let's go into the listening here because he was going fucking nuts.
I'm shrieking. Go ahead, brother. Get the spawn tunnel. Okay, two spawn on tunnel and then two on new. Two spawns on tunnel.
Time, man. Should have been in the middle. Right on you. We can talk. Get Garrow behind me. It's fucking too crap. What's Garrow behind me? Tunnel. Garrow, one shot. Clean it. Nice, guys.
I can see Shotzi, he gets a streak there at the end as well. So he just goes massive on the P2, gets a streak. Optic. We're able to build their lead a little bit there, take the lead and build off of it. Then we go into the P3. The P3 was honestly pretty mixy. Optic was able to get in there and break it, but it was what happens next at that P4.
I think they used their streak to break this, no?
Yeah, they used the streak. The streak
they
comes down.
Anything from it. And streak was kind of dog shit, to be honest.
This was the game-winning play right here because it's a 35-point game, 40-point game. And AG just goes fucking rogue at that next hard point. He wins a big 1v1 here. He's got one more 1v1 to win, and he takes care of both of them. He wins a big 1v2 at that next hard point. That's going to open things up here. You can see now how much time he just bought for his teammates. Phenomenal plays coming in from AG there. And once that happens, you can just see how the rest just kind of unfolds. I mean, Toronto just has a hard time getting into this hard point. Optic continues to soak this time. And, I mean, at this point, it's 230 to 165. If you're Optic Texas, all you got to do now is just stay ahead of the game, and you should be good to go. And that's exactly what they do. So any thoughts there on a play from AG or on the series or on the map? Any thoughts at all, guys?
Shotzi literally won them the game. Like, if it wasn't, even if it, like, the AG play was great.
This was big, too, right here. This two-piece tunnel.
The game would have ended before AG was
out. Yeah. It's also, it gets for an interesting spot at the end here with Jamie's streak, too. I mean, the players must have gone.
The way P2 is, like, most of the time, every team that is a top team is probably going to hold a full 60 on it, and Shotzi was the only one there. Brandon did have a streak, and he used it, so he helped out Shotzi a little bit with some information, but Shotzi ultimately killing those two players in Hill and locking down P2 led from them losing the game, because by then, Toronto would have been up around 220 to like whatever Optic scoreline was if they didn't get that P2 to basically almost a tie game and then them bringing it back completely.
So. Yeah, this is a streak here too, but it doesn't come in time, and AG
died back, Kelly, anyway. It's fucking chalk, so...
Yeah, you can see how much it means to the Green Wall and the Optic guys. They were definitely turned up after that one. Gentlemen, any final thoughts? Pat, any final thoughts on the series? Optic Texas, they come out and they take care of business against Toronto Ultra. I don't think you expected that, Pat.
Yeah, I didn't expect Envoy to have a neg 30 series and a shit day either. I'm sure he didn't as well. So I'm excited to see how they play against FaZe tomorrow. Obviously, they look good, but I mean... Basically played 4v3 today, you know, when you look at how bad Envoy played. So I'm excited to see tomorrow when they match up against FaZe.
If Optic play this way tomorrow, they're winning this fucking event. Right now, for me, if I had to pick a team winning this one, I'd pick Optic.
They definitely look the most comfortable right now, for sure.
Yeah.
Kayson's not liking it at all. Kayson's behind the camera, like, what the fuck?
Kayson is not a fan of what I just
said. They're the obviously cleanest top four team right now.
They do look the cleanest. We got to admit that.
I don't think there's anything for debate. Right now at all. Yeah. I think they're playing the best Call of Duty out of anyone at the event. They're on a 9-series win streak. They don't have a weak game mode. The vetoes are good. They're playing good COD right now. It's their tournament to lose.
Agreed. So if they get 3-0'd tomorrow by FaZe, what's the reaction?
FaZe got their fucking number, just like Optic got their number for so long.
Yeah, FaZe is, what, 4-0 against them or whatever the fuck it is?
3-0, I think, right?
3-0. I mean, if they win tomorrow, it'll be 4-0, but...
Yeah.
It's going to be a fucking crazy series. I can't wait for that. Any final thoughts, guys?
No, I think we can.
We kind of glaze over the control, but
the control was five defensive rounds.
There was a couple moments in that map. This could have been a 3-0 or some crazy shit didn't happen in the round four.
Is that map for sure going out?
We don't know.
Invasion control. It depends on how good like a Departures and Avista is in control.
Well, I mean, they added it into ranked play. They added Avista and Departures in ranked.
Starting on Monday,
I'm sure people are gonna test it. We've tested it a lot in subscriber rates. And
I'll be in there, bro.
I have not tested the map in control. Okay. The only thing we've been testing is Hardpoint. We've tested both Vista and Departures. Vista's a great map in Hardpoint.
Vista is good. There's only one hill spawn that I don't remember. Tommy, you play the map. But you know that one spawn where you get, what hill is it, bro? I think it's on the transition of P1 where you start spawning on, like, that back curve behind that kitchen building where you, like, start spawning parallel. I don't know callouts. So
it's hard because I don't know callouts. Okay, it's a new map.
When the pros scrim it, there's one hill that's Fugaz in terms of its spawns, but all the rest of them played really good.
Yeah, and wait, listen,
what day
like, we.
Did you say?
Monday.
Where? Monday? Well, like, for Monday sure. afternoon?
You out, bro?
Yeah, I think Monday is when they're putting the map
so. So what? Everyone has about 36 hours to get their Xfinity internet installed to be ready for the replay on Monday?
Yes, sir.
Attaboy.
Kayson said, let the Green Wall know we're coming tomorrow. He said he's going to be in the crowd with the Green Wall just going fucking nuts tomorrow. So expect to see Kayson out there in the venue. But You want to look back at the controls, Sam, or no? I thought because
there was just like an insane spawn in the round four that kind of chalked their offense there. That I think they probably just 3-0 if that spawn doesn't happen, to be honest. But
yeah, shitty spawns and MW3. Name a fucking worst fucking duo. Yeah,
I mean, overall, man, Optic just look really fucking good right now. They are like I said a second ago. They're
Sam,
just playing the best COD.
I agree, Sam. Like, I mean, I like FaZe. They played two game five so far this tournament. They had that couple of game fives and some series before that. They've been sort of grinding these ones out, but obviously been playing some like really, really clean series this entire split. So for me right now, they're my favorite tomorrow.
Why didn't you pick them today, Ben?
Because I was just trying. Listen, I'm trying to win that pick'ems competition, and I knew my only path was to pick what other people weren't picking and hope and pray that the upsets happen. Like,
well, you went 0-5 today.
Sam, can you give me a timestamp for the spawn?
Like, it is what it is, bro.
Yeah, if you can find it, they really want to see the spawn. They really want to see it. So we'll show them the spawn for sure.
I'll grab it.
But yeah, that's gonna do it for the Optic series. So Optic played really well. We obviously got FaZe Optic tomorrow, so that's gonna be fucking crazy. I cannot wait for that match. The next two series, we're not gonna look at any clips or anything. We're just gonna give our thoughts. I think these went as expected here. And Sam, when you get the timestamp, you can let me know
I'll throw a link in your chat.
But let's take a look here. We got the New York Subliners going up against the Carolina Roar Ravens. This was a 3-0 finish. I mean, I called it 3-0. It did go round 11, map 2. The control, I mean, it looked close, but again, with the control was kind of
bro, fellas,
one-sided. Why did you play him on Rio?
Carolina like Rio. And I actually thought that Carolina had a chance
on that map. Carolina auto-veto invasion.
Yeah. Carolina had a chance on that map. I thought Fellow had actually a great series in this one. He had insane clutch in the invasion, too.
I don't know what it is about auto vetoes, and we're not making roster changes. Unbelievable.
I don't know what it is about Fellow. There's a lot of teams that have auto vetoes. I don't know what it is about Fellow as to why he plays good on LAN and sucks online. Maybe it's their online split server shit. I don't know how their scrims go. I can't imagine he's just having days where he's just getting continuously shit on in scrims, or he's like a complete outlier. But he played pretty decent this series. So he played well. He played the best for his team, I think.
Bro, that spawn is insane, by the way. The control, bro. He spawns right on top of him. Like, if AG's pushing this out, like, this spawn should be blocked. They should be spawning here by B, like, out broken over, like, back P5. Back in invasion P5.
He's sitting in this stupid doorway, and there's some weird, like...
No, the game just... Bro, the game is justifying it. It's just the game being ass.
Terrible.
I think
the
game is ass.
We obviously don't know how this round plays out with that spawn not happening, but the way that they've been playing their offenses, I am fully confident they would have got there.
Yeah, they do get a clean wipe. I mean, they kill three guys.
They're three down, I mean, they get their own trade, immediately.
This guy gets traded, and...
Your own trade immediately is crazy.
Yeah, now the fact that he dies, comes off spawn, and gets and gets right back into the play is fucking insane. But, yeah, it's been really difficult for some of these teams to win offenses. As you can see, the spawns are just not it. But, guys, what are your thoughts on the New York Subliners going up against the Carolina Royal Ravens, the 3-0 finish for New York? I thought it was super comfortable. I agree. Tyler Fellow did look better on land, but I definitely think that there's just a huge gap between the top 14 and some of these other teams.
I thought Nadeshaw made an interesting statement today, and I thought he felt like Gwynn mentally sort of in the middle of this day. Somewhere in the middle, the first series they played against Vegas definitely was impactful in the first two maps, and it kind of faded. He didn't really have that big of an impact in this series. So I think for Carolina going forward, I mean, top six is super typical out of them because they looked like a dead team walking going in this event. But I think getting more consistency from these players, both online and LAN, is key to this roster sticking together and qualifying for champs.
Well, they're going to try to do that. They're going to apparently be moving out to North Carolina, so I'm assuming they're going to have a facility. The thing is, though, like I've been basically saying that every team has a clear path to an upgrade. I think this one's a little cloudy, and I'll tell you why. It's like Fellow is good on LAN, and he's probably he has had at least this LAN a lot of good LAN performances. So, in a hypothetical situation, if you do drop Fellow, you're dropping one of your decent LAN players. So, like, yeah, you might make improvements online, but I don't know how that's going to impact your tournament performance to events.
The key thing with this Carolina team is I'm very curious what the map pool looks like after this major, right? If this is I haven't played a lot of this in Departure Hardpoint. Is it like a 2-sub, 3-sub type map?
This is probably 2 subs, for some hills.
But like three for others.
Vista,
Vista. It's a little bit of a mix.
It's a mix. It's hill dependent too. I think it's gonna be 2-2. I agree, Sam. I think it'll be 2-2.
They should be fine then.
Departures as well is I think can be a sum. A few hills on departures are in buildings. And it, like those close quarter buildings, right, Chris? Like that, I feel like subs can like go crazy in those hills.
Yeah,
like,
subs, it's definitely a two-two because like your initial spawn points are like the lines of sight are long, so they're good for covering. But once the subs get actually into the objectives, like you're not killing them with an AR, so you still need. I think it's 2-2.
I think the other issue too, look like with Carolina is, you know, again, Gwyn Wierke has played pretty good. Obviously, didn't have a great day today. Clay, I thought. Was not too bad today, and TJ had a stinker, and it's been TJ's problem pretty much the entire CDL. Like, he's super up and down, especially against top teams.
Yeah.
Usually has a big problem there in those series.
Yeah, 100%. And, again, I thought New York played great. I think New York
looks
really good.
That spot isn't GA'd, by the way.
I was going to say, so going on top of high-rise is not GA'd.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've been being told that that's been GA'd for months. That's what people have been telling me, that it's been GA.
Maybe this shit was public. We would know, bro.
That's what they've been telling me. And now I'm sitting here, and I'm like, why the fuck aren't people going up there every second they can?
Yeah, in Challengers, I'm pretty sure it's GA'd.
Well, then what? Maybe that's why I'm getting confused with FaZe Black.
But that's the thing, though. It's like...
Am I getting confused with FaZe Black?
Bro,
maybe.
If Dashy gets up there, like, yeah, good night.
Bro, this is the exact...
Why would he need to... Bro, you don't need to do the old school, jump off the map, climb the ladder, run across the ledge. Bro, all you got to do is jump on the stairs underground, jump on the fence, and just jump top.
Or you can jump
on
their green shack.
Yeah, that one's a little weird, though. The green shack's weird.
It's easy as fuck to do, and you're already halfway up the ramp.
Bro, you get a 3-4 dead. And you're in the position to jump up there, I don't see why any pro wouldn't take initiative to get up there. I mean, it's a free. Granted, Sky's got ripped as soon as he got up there.
He absolutely smoked.
But I think he controlled a little bit. Go ahead, Ben.
This is the problem with the GA process. And I hate to say this again, dude. We don't know if this shit is GA'd or not GA'd because there's no fucking public list somewhere.
JP just put in the chat saying it's not GA'd.
Of all these fucking spots. And it just creates more confusion. On what the shit is, and I assume even for the professional players, it's not like they have a fucking doc where it lists all the GA'd spots and GA'd things. It's all in memory.
I think we're going to start seeing more and more people go up there in the next.
Shout out to my man JP Krez in the chat, too.
We're going to start seeing more people
from
go up
Optic
there.
Texas, man. Shout out to JP. If you guys haven't been checking out some of JP Krez's content, he does incredible content, man. He breaks down a lot of matches. Like here on the show, we like to break down, we like to talk, but JP goes super in depth with shit. So if you guys want to ever watch videos like that, I think JP does a great job. I tune into some of his videos sometimes, and I really enjoy them. So shout out to JP Krez in the chat. But
to work on his code names game though.
Not with me.
JP's good at code names. What?
Spymaster from the airport. I was playing from my phone. JP was my teammate, and we had a masterclass against Asim, who's
JP's
here now.
JP's good at code master. His name was.
You don't even know the name. You just called it Codemaster.
Codemaster, code names, it's all good.
Guys, any final thought to this series? I don't think we need to spend too much time on it. I thought New York just 3-0'd them. Carolina, they made a run, but...
They got top six. It's typical, man.
It was a good placing for them. Carolina needed it.
There's a couple wild moments in this series. I know we don't have clips, but the round 11 in the second map was crazy. Yeah. Fellow's streak, and then...
Honestly, I was down to watch clips for all of them, but it's midnight here.
Oh, no.
And I know you have to be up at, what, 7 a.m., 8 a.m.? Ben's been here all day. We've all been here all day. So just these last two series kind of went by quick, and the top teams kind of went nuts here. So, I didn't pull up any clips for these last two. But and then, of course, we have Toronto Ultra going up against LAG. And it was just the respawns from Toronto. They just punished them in the respawns. LAG couldn't keep up with the slang power from Toronto. And you can see here Dylan, again, just having a tough map or a tough series, minus 13 with a .8. But they do win all three respawns, and they made the respawns look easy. I do think LAG is very, very good at Surge. Their Surge game is very good.
The Surge game has gotten good.
They also have gotten high rise in like all their series.
They're playing their best shit.
And they just keep winning it. I don't know what teams are doing. I mean,
because teams have auto vetoes, and they would rather chow a team like LAG on their best map than play their auto veto because they have egos.
Either way, though, their map pool is really big in search regardless. Toronto took care of business. They lost their best SND, but I mean, I think in general, you got a really slow series out of Estriel when he's been their star player. And so Diamond Con was also their star player here at this major. So they could have probably put up a better fight if those two performed better, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I just think for LAG, where was this version of LAG for fucking like 3 or 4 weeks?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
They,
with this
they
team.
Fell flat for a little yeah. bit. And
little animals.
I think yeah, Adam Assault had his moments too.
He had an insane series yesterday.
Yeah.
It's fine that they're
Lanimals. They're good today too.
It's fine that they're Lanimals, which is respectable. If they're going to come to these events, you know, we got a Toronto event coming up, whatever, and get those points, great. But they got to figure out a way to get more points online or they're going to be. Having
well,
to be Lanimals.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's like
their
first stage, they did good on their online. I'm pretty yeah. sure they got winner's bracket. This one, obviously, they fell flat. I think they just
hold on. 2-5 gets winner's bracket. Let's not count
okay,
that
well,
as
they
doing
still,
well.
They still fell flat this split, and I think I'm hoping that they won't have a similar stage. Like, I expect them to get a couple wins.
And I'll tell you their schedule if you're curious.
Yeah, I'm actually curious what their schedule is like. I just think this team is better than people give them credit for, like in terms of like the way they view and play the game. They just, their execution sometimes is just not good. And the thing is, though, that you got a tip about this team is that they, like, regardless of how much talent they have on their roster, like they still at times will give some of these teams a fight, and like they've been making the runs. So I'm mm-hmm.
So LAG's remaining schedule is actually they're incredibly fucking easy. I'm gonna list you stage 3 and stage 4. I actually am gonna say this now: his LAG team does not find a way to qualify for champs with this schedule, I'll be mind blown. Stage 3, they start off against Toronto. Okay, hard game. Carolina Rocker, Boston Optic, Miami. So okay, like there is opportunities there, right? And then stage 4 is Royal Ravens, Thieves, Heretics, Faves, Boston, Vegas, and Seattle. So like they are dodging Optic, they're dodging Toronto.
They have a good, mm-hmm. they have a good. What is it called? Yeah, no, a good schedule. But the problem is here, we've talked about it. Every team is going to make an upgrade.
Yeah.
This team, I'm going to go ahead and assume at this point they're going to stay the same because going back to their stage that they just had, everyone on that team, barring Estoril, was an issue as to why they didn't get any wins on the board.
Yeah.
So in isolating a problem, and just from talking to the guys, I kind of just have a feeling they're going to stick together and just try to run it back. Every other team, in theory, should get better. They're all going
to
make upgrades.
I guarantee you Ravens, Vegas, and Ultra.
But to your point, Chris, their schedule I just named to you, they're only playing 2 of the top 4 in stage 3, and they're only playing 1 of the top 4 in stage 4. So, like, you think about the remaining matches, and some of those may be gruelies, but there are opportunities for LAG to get online points and really feel confident going through most of stage 4 that your champ spot is secure and you can, you know, really work on the things you need to work on.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. They're just hoping that teams that do make changes don't all of a sudden, like, come surpass God. Them.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we got the bracket for tomorrow. We do this every Saturday at a major. We give our who we think is going to win the whole tournament. We can obviously give our prediction. I'm going to go with Atlanta FaZe. I'm going to keep my same prediction. That's what I had the whole time since the start. You're probably going who, Optic?
I said Optic, yeah.
What about you, Chris? Who are you going with?
Winning the whole thing?
Yeah.
So I rated Subliners and Optic as my two favorites going into the event. And uh-huh. Since Subliners is now in the loser's bracket and Optic's win, I'm going to say that Optic will win this tournament.
All right, Chris got Optic, Ben got Optic. Sam, who do you got tomorrow?
I have FaZe beating Optic in winner's finals and then a rematch in Grands.
That's what I have too, which I think will be fucking lit.
So who do you have winning Grand Final?
I have FaZe winning as well.
Okay.
So it's double FaZe. It's going to be triple FaZe. Oh, actually, no. Pat, did you have Ultra winning this tournament?
I have FaZe beating Optic in winter finals and moving on. I have Ultra beating Subliners. I have Ultra beating Optic. And then I have Ultra beating FaZe for the repeat.
So, you have double Ultra FaZe, Ultra, and Optic. So no New York believers in the camp right now.
I mean, the crazy thing about this, bro, is with all four teams alive going into Sunday, all four of them not worried about New York or Toronto making a loser bracket one if they get hot. Not worried about FaZe or Optic dealing with the reset if they lose. The team in winners getting iced out. All four of these teams are capable of winning in the spot they're in, and we can have an insane
fucking
Sunday.
I think the most interesting story going into Sunday is that at least for the both losers bracket teams, in terms of like the matches they played in winners, they were uncharacteristic of how they've played in the online stages. Like I was talking about, New York's S&D looked terrible, and then Ultra's hardpoint looked terrible. Which
FaZe's control is also not big.
Yeah, so like it's just like so weird. Losing. Like Optic's the only team that's kind of been consistent in terms of like what they look like online on LAN, mm-hmm. while the other teams have shown some sort of variance. So it's gonna be a weird one, dude.
The only thing with Optic is the map pull of FaZe. I'll probably talk about it more than one when I stream. Is a little bit dicey for them, especially with FaZe being good at Terminal S&D. Optic's got some thinking to do about how they want to attack the S&D map pull for FaZe.
Who do you guys got New York versus Ultra? Ben, who do you got? That's a tough one.
I got to say New York right now because Toronto can't win S&D. So until they show that, I got to pick New York. I'm sorry.
I'm picking New York as well. I think Paco's hitting gear. I think, obviously, they're disappointed that they're in the loser's bracket. I thought they played FaZe good, too. I thought they really started to turn up against FaZe. And there was a period of time where I was seeing that old New York Subliners, that championship team. I was seeing it. And I think they're going to come out tomorrow and play well. I'm going to go New York Subliners tomorrow over Toronto. I'll probably say 3-2. I can see it being a really good over series. It could go either way. These are obviously both incredible teams. But I'll go New York. Chris, who do you got?
I got New York. I rated Optic and New York again. The two best teams of this tournament. I think New York's going to make the run.
Pat, we know what you got. Sam, who do you got in this one?
I have New York winning as well. I'm more confident in their search, and I think that the hard points for a New York and Ultra series kind of favor New York as well, because either one, you play their auto veto, or New York's, excuse me, Toronto's auto veto on Invasion, or you play New York on Rio, which I think they're strong at, and I don't know. I just think New York's a better team right now.
I want to say one thing is that if Optic win Winners Finals and Grand Finals, they will have gone undefeated this stage. So if they pulled it off, that would be really fucking impressive. Anyway, let me go putt.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. It is midnight here on the East Coast. It has been a long day. There has been a lot of energy in the chat. Guys, I have a lot of energy because of y'all, bro. I'd be dead right now if it wasn't for you guys, bro. You guys have been incredible all day long. You guys have been showing a lot of support on the watch parties, the shows, the merch. Guys, make sure to go get your merch, man. Zuma.gg, it's limited. It's sold out right away. Made some calls and was able to get a few more orders up there for you guys. So if you guys do want it, go to Zuma.gg. What happened?
T-shirts are already sold out again.
They're sold out again? The T-shirts?
No, the hoodie's still good.
The hoodie is still good. You just checked, Slay? Okay, the hoodie is apparently the T-shirt is already sold out. Which that T-shirt's going?
No, only the cream one. Only the cream one. The white one's still good.
So the white one's still. I'm wearing the white one right now, actually, under this hoodie. But the white one's still alive, and the gray hoodie is still alive. So if you guys want to cop, go cop at Zuma.gg. And once again, huge shout out to Xfinity. Without them, we wouldn't be here. And you know, I just want to keep shouting them out because it's been great working with them, and they've been a great partner, and they've supported us a lot. So just huge shout out to them. I really appreciate them, and they really do got the best, most fastest, reliable internet. So make sure to show some love to Xfinity. Benjamin Asim points out. He steps up to the plate, slippies on, gray sweatpants on. He's going to sink the ball, and he hits it, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up.
God,
oh, man.
Ben is beating the online accusation.
I don't know. I feel like we're getting hit with the camera cheese. It looks like that was like a 3-foot
putt.
Yeah,
Ben, I'm
going to
be honest. That was like a 3-footer, bro. Guys. 3-footer, right?
Here's the camera angle. He's catfishing.
I don't know. Tomorrow, we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. Tomorrow, we're going to make sure we get a long putt. Because I don't know if I'm fucking buying it, folks. I don't know if I'm buying it. But take a seat, Ben. Come on. Take a seat. Relax. Okay? Relax.
6-foot putts.
6-foot. Get the fuck out of here. 6-foot. Are you crazy? That was a 2.5. I was giving you the benefit of the doubt.
That was not 2.5. You don't know what a 2.5-foot fucking putt looks like. Okay.
All right. Duarte's already out of here. He's ready to go to bed. He's already off the couch. He's waving goodbye. Bye, Duarte. Goodbye. All right, see you later. Guys, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Go to anchor.fm/TheFlank. Check out all the other sites that we're on. Go follow @TheFlank on Twitter. Gert's doing a phenomenal job running socials. Go to Zuma.gg for the merch. Huge shout out to Chris, Sam, Ben, and Pat. Huge shout out to everybody in the chat. You guys have been absolutely incredible. Guys, I will also be at the venue outside by the front doors an hour before doors open. It's going to be, I think doors open at 12:30 Eastern. So I'll be there around like 11 a.m., 11:30 a.m., just vibing, hanging out with people. If you guys want to say hello, you're more than welcome to stop by and say what's good. All right, just don't say anything about my nose. All right, don't say nothing. But as always, I love you. Take care. Brush your hair. And we'll see you guys next time on another episode of The Flank. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Take it easy.